You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fantastic edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained while we talk about the Montreal Canadiens each and every week, not just throughout the season, but all throughout the year. And that means, yes, all throughout the summer as well. That's why we're here. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. This would be episode number 357 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. And with me in the studio, of course, is my co-host, who is the founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Mr. Rick Stevens. How are you doing today, sir?
It's midsummer. I can't complain. It's been a great summer so far. A little bit lacking on the sports side. It's kind of the all-star break for MLB. There's no F1 this week. I guess there's still CFL football in full swing.
Yeah, Wimbledon just wrapped up.
Oh, that's right, too.
Golf is still...
Do you know that there's an NFL... I saw somebody say that there's an NFL... preseason game this month.
Late. What?
Yeah, coming up. That July has one, I think at least one NFL preseason game. So
well,
time
now
to get
your
fantasy football.
Rocket Sports Commish lineups. Brian.
Yeah, Brian, get at it.
Let's get those leagues renewed. Hey, that's something we should tell all of you. If you're interested in playing in one of our Rocket Sports fantasy football leagues this fall, now would be the time to reach out and let us know if you would like to put your name in the hat if there is an opening. So
we also do fantasy hockey, but that's a little bit later. Fantasy sports, reach out to us. We'd love to include you in our leagues.
Definitely. We actually do have a lot to talk about today. In our first segment, of course, we're going to get you caught up on all of the latest Montreal Canadiens news and updates. That includes some roster changes. That includes some scheduling news. It also, when we dip into the Habs prospect report, there's been some new rankings that are out there on some of the Montreal Canadiens prospect pipeline, which I think many of you will find quite interesting. And then in our second segment, that's when we hit our big topic of the week. And this week, we're talking about how to make sense of the unfinished Hughes-Gorton masterpiece that they're currently trying to assemble. In fact, the title of today's episode is Habs Blueprint in Progress, Decoding Hughes and Gorton's Plan. We're going to take a look at what they've done, what they've said they were going to do, how all of that kind of jives with one another, and try to take a step back to look at it from the perspective of they're probably not quite done with this performance piece that they're putting together. And so how do you evaluate where they're at? There's a lot of really interesting things. We're going to hear from Kent Hughes. We're going to hear from Jeff Gorton. We're going to hear from John Sedgwick as well in that segment. So you are not going to want to miss that. And then, of course, we'll have a fan question of the week for you, our Canadiens Connection question of the week for you to send in your response. Third segment is when we read your best responses from last week's question of the week. And my goodness,
our listeners had a lot to say.
Buckle in for the third segment, because we have a ton of viewer comments and listener comments to read. Last week's question of the week generated a lot of opinions that are all kind of all over the map. So you are not going to want to miss that. And maybe yours is one of the ones we've selected to read on today's show. So if you would like to make your voice heard, whether it's a question, a comment, a response to the question of the week, you'd like to tell us you want to be on the fantasy football waiting list, whatever it is, the best way to reach us is to send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. We actually had a number of responses come in that way this week. You can also drop a comment on our YouTube channel. You can find us on YouTube. Just go to InsideTheCanadians.com, and that will take you right to our YouTube channel. You can also leave a comment in our replies, in our mentions or DMs on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just go to the handle at Habs Connection. And so reach out, say what you need to say, and you might very well hear us talk about it on the following week's show. What we want to talk about, first of all, is since we are here every week throughout the summer, you know, there's a lot of news that happens over the summer that kind of gets glossed over by a lot of other media outlets, because a lot of, you know, it's cottage time now. And so we want to make sure that you're well informed by the time training camp rolls around. So we're here each and every week to bring you all of the news. And the big news this week was that the Canadians made another signing this week. They signed forward Joe Valeno to a one-year, one-way contract, average annual value of $900,000. This one might have come as a bit of a surprise to some people, kind of an out-of-the-blue, out-of-left-field kind of signing. He did split time last year between Detroit and Chicago. But Rick, he also bounced around a little bit after the season as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be his tax accountant this year, because it's pretty complicated. If you've been out to Brassard, you may have run into Joe Valeno. He's spending a lot of time skating and skating with some of the Canadians, kind of hey, pick me kind of attitude, I guess. And he finally got his wish, and he's a hometown guy. He's very, very happy. Last season, 74 games in total, modest or meager 17 points split between the Detroit Red Wings. He played 56 games there, and the Chicago Blackhawks 18 games. He was traded at the trade deadline, from Detroit to, Chicago. Then he was traded again on the 21st of June, to the Seattle Kraken from Chicago, for Andre Burakovsky. And then, days later, the Kraken placed him on unconditional waivers and bought out his contract. He had one more year left on his deal. So, wow, that's
so
a lot.
He's a free agent.
And then took advantage of that status to sign with the Canadians. What do we know about him? Well, you know, everybody talks about that special season that he had with Drummondville in 2018-19 season, 104 points. He was the only player in the queue to receive exceptional status. Now 25 years old, got some size, 6'1", 200 pounds. And listen, he's good defensively. He's got high compete, but there's just not a lot of offensive production. Questionable hockey sense. His struggles have been related to his ability to process the NHL game at a high pace. So not the second line center that the Canadians have talked about. He's, for the most part, with Chicago, with Detroit, He was and you know, those aren't playoff teams. Those aren't teams at the top of the standings. He was their fourth line center.
And so if you're, you know, this is another one of those, where will he fit in? In fact, one of our team members here at Rocket Sports, Mike Raschel, made a comment on our team Slack channel about this. He said, it's a sexy homecoming for a player that was once an exceptional status CHLer, but I don't see a spot for him. I like that he's solid in his own end, but that's a bit of a theme in the Habs' bottom six. Responsibility is important, but the limited offensive upside here, besides a season a few years ago with a poor Red Wings team where they continued to deploy him on the second line in the power play. So great comment from Mike Raschel, and I think that's a bit of a theme for people who are not just looking at it from the excitement of, oh, he's as you say, he's a local guy. He's from Montreal. That's an exciting acquisition to have a local guy come and another piece of the puzzle. But I think people who are looking objectively at the signing are saying, okay, yeah, it's great, but don't we have 4 or 5 of those guys already?
Yeah, it's a great comment from Mike, and if you don't know, we talk about Mike from time to time. He's got his eye on the CHL.
Yeah, he does.
And his comments are, you know, with all of that background, and he references a couple of years ago, a pretty good season in Detroit. Still just 28 points, so not a lot of offensive production there, you know, how does this fit? And we're going to come back to this. You know, the Canadians seem to be loading up on the bottom six. And how are these puzzle pieces going to work? How are promotions from Laval going to work? Where does this fit with the other acquisitions? And are the Canadians done? That's that blueprint. That's that plan in progress that we referenced in the title, and we're gonna break it all down in our second segment.
So before we get there, let's continue with the latest news from out of Montreal, and that is, of course, that every NHL team unveiled their regular season schedule for the upcoming 2025-26 season. And so a couple of notable things on the Habs schedule this season. They are starting on the road in Toronto on Wednesday, October 8th. Then they head to Detroit to play the Red Wings on the 9th. So they're opening with a back-to-back on the road. And it's a three-for-all. They'll have a day off on the 10th and travel to Chicago to play the Blackhawks on the 11th. So Toronto, Detroit, Chicago is kind of the opening weekend for the
three original six teams to start the season. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
Although the Canadians don't open the season on a Saturday night. They play most of their home games on Saturday night. But they'll be in Chicago, which, I mean, fabulous arena.
Yeah.
Terrific anthem. So that'll be great. Their home opener doesn't come until the following Tuesday. That's October 14th. Curiously, it's against the Seattle Kraken.
That's a weird choice.
Yeah, wouldn't have wagered that. That's fine. They go all the way through to April, ending their season with two games on the road against the New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers.
Which I think is that's also kind of an odd ending of the regular season for the Canadians, but interesting. The other interesting thing is, sorry, families, if any of you had marked on the calendar Super Bowl weekend to when will tickets be available for the family weekend afternoon matinees that the Canadians always host on Super Bowl weekend, the Habs are sad to break it to you that you're out of luck this year.
Yeah, no afternoon matinees at the Bell Center this year. The traditional Saturday, Sunday matinee, the stands are typically full of kids on Super Bowl weekend. The Super Bowl this year is February 8th, my dad's birthday, and the NHL is going to be on their Olympic break during that time. So I've seen a lot of comments from from folks on social media saying, hey, wait a minute, how do I explain this to my kids? I would suggest that you take them to Plasbell for a Rocket game, which... that would be a lot of fun. And there are afternoon games, of course, in the AHL.
Quite often.
Just some highlights on the NHL schedule. On October 11th and 28th, all 32 teams are in action, which is kind of a gimmick maybe, but it makes for some good storytelling. Hockey Day in Canada, if that's still a thing we celebrate, is on January 17th. This year, the Canadians in Ottawa. And then the other note is mark on your calendars, March 6th is the NHL trade deadline.
I will make one note about this whole no afternoon matinees for the Habs because the NHL is going to be on their Olympic break. The schedulers, the Canadians could have made sure that they had at least one matinee game somewhere else on the schedule.
Sunday.
Just to, you know, families, as you said, families love those afternoon matinee games. Mm-hmm. They look forward to them every year. It would have been nice to have seen that they still would have preserved one game that they could do that. So
makes that red-white game really important this year. So when tickets are announced, get them quick.
That's right. All right. Switch gears and talk about the Habs prospects for a second.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Starting off the segment this week with some new prospect rankings that are out on The Athletic, courtesy of Scott Wheeler. We're going to start with his latest ranking of top 100 drafted NHL prospects. And keep in mind for this list that to be considered on this list, the skater must be under 23 years old and not yet fully established with his NHL club. So that's the parameters that Scott Wheeler is working with here to determine his top 100 drafted NHL prospects.
And just to repeat, it is skaters. Goalies are included from this particular list. We'll get to those in just a minute.
Yes, they are excluded from this list. So just skaters. So topping the list, I'm not sure that anyone would be necessarily surprised that it's New York Islanders Matthew Schaefer.
Yeah, the most recent NHL draft produces the top two on this list. Schaefer gets the number one, and his top seven, I think it's seven picks, are in his first tier, as he calls it. So Matthew Schaefer with the Islanders is the number one spot. Michael Misa, San Jose Sharks pick at this recent draft, gets the number two spot.
However, at number three, it is not someone who was just selected this summer. Don't have to go back too far, though. It is Montreal's Ivan Demidov, who he feels currently number three on the list, which definitely puts him, as Rick just mentioned, within that top seven, the tier one, top tier prospects, drafted prospects in the NHL.
A couple of quotes from the write-up that accompanies this. Wheeler says, Demidov is the most purely skilled forward prospect in the sport.
Okay. all right.
He profiles as a point per game, first line, all-star level winger. I truly believe he's going to mesmerize in the prime of his career in the NHL. So really high praise
Them's
there.
Them's big words.
Yeah, for Demidov.
That's not the end of Habs prospects on this list, however. Basically two more in what's roughly the top 50, just about. At number 39, he has got defenseman David Reinbacher.
He's not as enthusiastic about David Reinbacher. He says, I'm not in love with his upside, and I have reservations about whether his game has what it takes to live up to his draft slot. It just lacks a little juice, he says, but he should become a solid number three, four defenseman. And he says, he goes on to say, if he can get past the injury issues, he's going to have a long career, but limited ceiling, I guess, is the catchphrase for David Reinbacher.
And at number 51, which is why I say three Habs prospects, basically in the top 50, because it's just over the line at number 51, is forward Michael Hage.
Wheeler says his blend of skating skill, scoring, playmaking, and hockey sense is hard to come by. I'm a big believer. So likes Michael Hage a lot. And a lot of you talked about Michael Hage when we asked who should be the Canadiens' second line center. A lot of our listeners are big believers in Michael Hage, and especially those who saw him at the recent development camp. So they're preaching patience, not to go out and do anything that would block the way for Michael Hage becoming the Canadiens 2C a couple years down the road.
Definitely. So that's three Habs prospects on Wheeler's top 100. Shifting gears then to his next ranking, which is his top 20 drafted NHL goalie prospects. The parameters for this, again, to be considered on this list of the top 20 drafted NHL goaltending prospects, the goalie must be under the age of 25 and not yet fully established as an NHL netminder. He's got Yaroslav Askarov topping the list, who is now with the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, remember Askarov? We've talked about him on the podcast a few times because Nashville made a couple of attempts to send him to the Montreal Canadiens. One at the draft slot where Demidov was chosen. But the Canadiens have the number two slot. And in Scott Wheeler's list, there are only two goaltenders in the top tier, the tier one. Askarov at number one and Jacob Fowler at number two. When describing Jacob Fowler, Wheeler says he has a legitimate shot not just to be an NHL goaltender, but to be a top one. And there aren't many goalies his age or even a little older I'm comfortable saying that about.
Again, them's big words. That's very exciting. I think what's even more exciting is the fact that the Habs have two goaltenders on this list. There are only 20 goaltending prospects on this list, and the Habs have two of them. Fowler at number two, and just making it in at number 19 is Jakub Dobish.
Yeah, and he talks about Jakub Dobish as a goaltender, a big goaltender, who moves post to post and low to high very well. But the quote is, the strength of his game is positioning, where he tries to make himself look big in the net and take away the shooter's hole by playing sharp and challenging angles designed to swallow the first shot. And so he's pretty high on Jakub Dobish, and lucky for the Canadiens, and if this all turns out, we'll see, to have the potential of a Fowler-Dobish tandem for years to come.
I like that idea. I think that would be fantastic. Just a bit of roster news for the Laval Rocket and in all honesty, the Trois-Rivières Lions and the ECHL. Laval did make a signing this week, signing defenseman Charles Martin to a one-year, two-way AHL contract. Again, that likely means he'll start the season in the ECHL, but he'll be available for call-ups to the AHL if needed. Rick, Martin is a defenseman who's been around for a little bit. He's 27.
He is a homegrown product from Blainville, Quebec. Decent size, I guess, 6 foot, 190. Played most of his games, 40 games last year in the ECHL with the Rapid City Rush. He wore a letter. He was an alternate captain in Rapid City. He made his AHL debut last season with Calgary Wranglers, got four-game look there. And he comes from the NCAA Division III hockey program in Superior, Wisconsin.
Which I think is fantastic. You know, we hear about Division I, the Div I hockey programs all of the time because those are obviously the ones in the biggest spotlight. But we also talk about how great NCAA hockey is in general for development. And this is a case where this was a young man playing not in Division I, not even in Division II, but a Div III school who finds himself now with an AHL contract. So,
And the potential to play at Place Bell. That's
pretty big deal.
Keep your dreams alive. Keep working hard. There's a variety of paths to your hockey dream.
That's right. Couple of notes just from around the NHL in general. In case you missed this with all of the hubbub about the CBA last week, I think pretty much to everyone's shock and surprise, not just fans, but media members alike, and I think probably even insiders who have pretty good behind-the-scenes knowledge, I think everyone was probably surprised to hear that the NHL general managers did not decide to make the decentralized draft a one and done. They have voted to continue the decentralized approach to the draft for next year as well.
Man, that's...
Womp, womp, womp. I have not seen more...
Every one of the draft experts that we talked to during our draft coverage, and we had conversations off the air, used the phrase one and done.
One and done.
There was no way
they were going
to
do this again.
No, and even went on to say that the preference would be to have a kind of a convention where the draft and the free agency and it all kind of in one location.
And the awards and all of it.
All of it. But then the disaster, the absolute disaster that was especially the first round of the draft. It was long. It was boring. It was filled with technical issues. It was awkward. I said, you know, if I didn't have to watch it, I wouldn't have. I feel for the fans because a terrible product. And then day two was pathetic. It was painful. Really long. Yeah. It was painful. And I remember when we got to the fifth round, I don't remember which team it was. But they were taking too long.
Might have been Chicago.
Chicago or Calgary or one of those. And Daly said, okay, you're on notice for taking too long. And you know, you're going to lose the pick. And they were, you know, got a warning and all that. And our good friend Sam Cosentino said, an attempt to move the draft along 5 rounds too late.
Yeah.
It was awful. And some of those things, they can spice up the production a bit. The other thing was the silly presenters that they did, the celebrity presenters.
Yeah, I wasn't
that didn't work.
Keen on that.
Only a couple of them did. But they talked afterwards about the technical nightmare that it was to try and connect everybody from all over the world and the delays and all that. They said the technology doesn't exist to be able to do that smoothly in their little draft house or whatever it was when the prospect got to talk to their the front office folks who had just drafted them. So I don't know what changes they're going to make. Gary Bettman looked completely embarrassed about the product. And they better get it right next time or they're going to be losing fans in droves, especially using an event like this where they're trying to drum up new interest. They're going to not get the new interest and they're going to lose their existing fans and by putting out such a bad product. The thing that I worry about is the more times you do this, the harder it is to go back.
Well, and I think that's what's happened here. I think there was such negative pushback and backlash the night of the first round and even the second day. And the bulk of the blame from fans and media alike on social media all lay at the feet of the GMs because everybody blamed the GMs for voting to do this. So I think the GMs are now deflecting and saying, No, even though I think there were probably a good portion of them that voted to do it again who actually didn't like it. But this time they've said they're putting it at the feet of the NHL saying, we're going to do this again, but your production has to be better. And so now they're going to, you know, now if it's a disaster again, the GMs can kind of wash their hands and say, hey, we said that it was the production that needed to be better. It's not our fault.
Yeah, they just don't understand the damage that can be done while they're figuring all this out.
That's right. One sad note to mention before we head to our first break and get ready for our big topic segment is former Canadiens goaltender Wayne Thomas has passed away at his home in Massachusetts at the age of 77 this week.
You don't know Wayne Thomas well. He was at a short stay with the Montreal Canadiens organization, but a successful one. Wayne Thomas won a Calder Cup, an AHL Calder Cup, in the 1971-72 season with the Nova Scotia Voyageurs, then the AHL affiliate of the Canadiens. And he went on to play 52 games in total over between the years of 72 and 74 for the Canadiens. In his first season, 72-73 season, he was a backup to Ken Dryden. His NHL debut came on January 14th, 1973, a 3-0 Canadiens shutout over the Vancouver Canucks. We've seen it, and we saw it last season, but not often a Canadiens goaltender comes in and shuts out the opposition in their NHL debut. But because he was the backup to Ken Dryden that year, he didn't see a lot of action. Canadiens won the Stanley Cup that year. He was part of that Stanley Cup winning team, but he didn't play enough games to get his name on the cup. But the Canadiens, valuing what he did, gave him a Stanley Cup ring anyway. He went on to continue his playing career with the Leafs and the Rangers. He then went on to be a NHL coach for a period of time with a number of teams. And then he moved into a management position with the San Jose Sharks, where he was for almost 20 years.
So we are very sad to hear of his passing this week, sending our sincerest condolences to his family and friends and fans who will mourn him and miss him. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast, but do not go anywhere because on the other side, we are tackling our big topic of the week, how to make sense of this unfinished Hughes and Gorton Canadiens masterpiece. You don't want to miss it. Stick with us. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join Our Team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you would like to follow me over on X. I'm usually moderately quiet on X over the summer, but during the hockey season, I'm constantly giving updates and some hot takes and whatnot over there. So if you'd like to follow me over there, you can do so. My handle is @FlyersRule. And of course, you want to be following Rick, our president and founder, over on X as well, because his account is our main Rocket Sports account. So any content that we put out on any type of platform or any updates and news we have about the Canadiens or their prospects, he's going to put it out on this account, which is at Rocket Sports. So be sure you're following over there. And hey, if you haven't done so already, what are you waiting for? Hit the subscribe button. We want to make sure that you get notified every single time we have a new episode out. And that is every single week, even throughout the off season, all summer long. So we don't want you to miss a single episode. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button if that's an available thing, or the share button is a good one for you to hit as well. So
and hit that. So we notice that we get lots of people downloading the episode, watching on YouTube. We're close to a milestone on YouTube, so that will help us if you subscribe there.
But
be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so that once the season starts, you're already locked in and you're getting our updated episodes.
That's right. As Rick mentioned at the top of the show, it is midsummer. It's the middle of summer already. Can you believe it? Habs fans are already counting the days until Habs fans, me, counting the days until the chill returns to the air, because, yes, I cannot stand humidity. I hate it. Sorry. Slight tangent.
You should check out Winnipeg. It's a dry heat.
It's dry heat.
Yeah.
I like this. Okay.
It's a dry cold also.
I've said it on the show before. I'm one of the, while I enjoy spring, I enjoy fall, I enjoy winter. The dead of summer, which is what we're in now, like mid-July through August, I could skip, but I digress. Habs fans in general, really looking forward to when a chill starts to return to the air, getting into autumn, when the leaves start to change, start to come down, because that means that hockey season is back. And we are really right now just about 80 days away from the start of the Canadiens' regular season, which is hard to believe. You know, we talked about this, just even the fact that this week the NHL released the schedules for the regular season. That means things are happening. Things are getting closer and closer. You know, Hughes made another signing this week. It could be really tempting at this point for fans to think, all right, you know, next season is kind of on the horizon. Maybe everything is done. All that's left to do really is, you know, try to figure out, take a look at everything that Hughes and Gorton have done, figure out what the lineup for opening night might look like, get online and order some tickets, and kick back and enjoy the rest of the summer and just wait for the season to get here.
Okay.
But really what we want to do today is kind of ask the question, are they really done? Because there's a lot of differing opinions on that. And is the addition of the Montreal Canadiens, this roster that they've now assembled for this season, is this really set in stone yet? Or are we kind of looking at the unfinished masterpiece that Hughes and Gorton are trying to put together? It's one of those things that there are so many different opinions and perspectives on this that sometimes it can get a bit muddy when you're trying to kind of pull back and take that 30,000 foot view of what's happened this summer and figure out, are they done? Are they just toying with us? Or is there legitimately some more that could or should be happening? And so today we want to try to kind of walk you through all of that and try to make some sense out of all of it and take a look at actions versus words, right?
And not only opinions, external opinions, but we've got some quotes. Kent Hughes, we've got Jeff Gorton, who added some information to the puzzle this week. We've got assistant GM John Sedgwick, and try to they're explaining what their vision is. They're explaining how they're going about things. So we kind of want to set that to add that to the background and compare that to their actions that they've taken so far this summer. Still a fair bit of time left. 80 days before the drop of the puck for the Canadiens opening game of the season. So kind of try to figure out how it all fits, how this big puzzle fits together, and forecast whether the Canadians are indeed done or whether there's more moves to be made.
So to do that, let's start with the new additions to the organization. And I say to the organization because there are question marks on some of them as to whether or not they will actually start on opening night on the NHL roster or if they might find themselves elsewhere. But let's remind ourselves who has been added to the Canadiens organization since the end of the regular season. We've got Noah Dobson, Zach Bolduc, Joe Valeno, and Sammy Blais.
So, yeah, some of these are we know where Noah Dobson's going to play. It's going to be the top first pairing defenseman. Zach Bolduc's going to be a Montreal Canadian. We don't know where he's going to play. Is he going to play as a center? He's been asked to practice his and work on his faceoffs. Is he going to play on the wing? Is he going to play in the third line or the fourth line? Some would like him to play on the second line. Sammy Blais, I think, a physical presence, but unless he's going to play the Michael Pezzetta role, he's probably destined for Laval, which brings us to Joe Valeno, the most recent acquisition this past week. And as I said earlier, basically on two pretty bad teams, he centered their fourth line. We have to remind ourselves that he was a first round draft pick, the number 30th pick overall of the 2018 draft by Detroit. And you know, there, Jeff Gorton said there are players who, even though they didn't draft him, and Jeff Gorton was with and Bob Roth were both with the Rangers at that time. Actually, I think they had just left and Gorton was a commentator at that point, but players that you like, you keep your eye on, players that you have in maybe in your, we're talking about the fantasy, hockey and fantasy football earlier, players, you keep an eye on them, or players that, maybe you hoped that the Canadians would take in the most recent draft. You kind of keep your eye on them. And I think that's what the Canadians have done here. Valeno has been called. He's gone from that 104-point season, 42 goals in 59 games with Drummondville. And now, because his career has not taken off, because he hasn't matched his junior production, he's been called underwhelming, a disappointment, a draft bust, all of those kinds of things. So why would the Canadians go out? Do they think that he's going to magically turn around his production and start achieving those numbers? Probably not. No, he's already got over 300 games in the NHL. He is who he is. He's a 20-point-a-season player, roughly. But he fills a need. He's got speed, which the Canadians are trying to add to the lineup more of. He has decent size, which the Canadians are trying to add more of. He's good in his own zone, which the Canadians want the defense to help out. He is a left-shot center. Face-off help is a big need with Christian Dvorak heading to the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, that has to be taken with a bit of a grain of salt. He didn't take that many face-offs last year, and his face-off numbers are pretty mediocre, 46%, somewhere around that range. But still, on a one-year contract, how is this all going to work out?
It's a good question. There's also another area that he fits. In fact, three of those four players who I just mentioned as new additions this summer fit in this category. And I know that this can be a controversial category for some, and that is the category of adding players who are either Montreal natives or Quebec natives. Bolduc, Valeno, Sammy Blais all fit that category. Noah Dobson's the only one who's not a Montreal native who was a new addition. So with Valeno now being put on the organization's organizational chart as well, there are now six Quebec-born players who have a real chance of still being on the NHL roster at the end of training camp.
The Montreal media, particularly the French media, are really beating this drum hard.
Because they've complained a lot in the past years about how there's not enough of them.
And the six players that you mentioned, Sammy Montembeau, Mike Matheson, Alex Carrier, Zach Bolduc, and Joe Valeno and Sammy Blais, who there's question marks about whether they're on one-way contracts, but they could still be sent to Laval. But the what's being promoted is that there's an opportunity for the Canadians to have the largest number of Quebec-born players in the lineup since the 2008-2009 season. So they're pretty excited about that.
They are. And I don't fault the excitement about that kind of potential. It's, you know, any team would, you know, if I'll use Philadelphia as an example, because they're the team I grew up with, because I live in Eastern Pennsylvania. You know, if Philadelphia had six Greater Philadelphia born players on their roster, they would toot that horn pretty well. However, you know, we don't ever want that to be, let's try to fulfill that category regardless of whether it helps us get closer to a Stanley Cup or not. That's what really should be mattering.
Yeah. And again, is this the way things are going to look like on opening night? Probably not. And just for fun, I look back to our podcast 1 year ago, episode 304, and at that time, RDS had just released their lineup projection for the Montreal Canadiens, who they thought was going to be in the lineup on opening night, and it includes Sam Montembeau, David Savard, Mike Matheson, all that's correct. But they also had Alex Barry-Boulay, Raphael Harvey-Bernard, and Joshua Waugh all in the opening night lineup. And we know how the lineup ended up coming, how it turned out over the course of the season. And so it, you know, their prediction, they I'm sure they were excited last year too, didn't really play out that way. So that's what we're trying to say is this a, it's tough to evaluate these lineup projections, because it may not be a finished masterpiece at this point. There's lots of 80 days left while things can happen.
So I guess we should ask you, because you put out a projected Canadiens lineup a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Does Joe Valeno's addition this week really change your projection much?
Yeah, I think that Joe Valeno is going to be there, unless you know, an Oliver Kapanen or an Owen Beck really shows something in training camp. I expect him to be there, but where is he going to be? Is he going to be the 13th forward? Is he going to be on the centering the fourth line? Is he going to be on the wing? That's all unknown at this point. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
When you did that projection a couple of weeks ago, you basically did it because just about everyone and their dog was already getting excited about projecting the NHL lineups for the Canadiens and any team for that matter, you know, once free agency had settled down a little bit. NHL.com has now put out their projection for the Montreal Canadiens. Not sure exactly which of the NHL.com contributors has put this together, whether it's Kimmelman or Mike Morreale or someone like that. But Rick, they've put out their own projection.
They have. And they've been doing this for all the teams. They got to the Canadiens this week. And they have Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky on the top line. No surprise there. Patrick Laine, Kirby Dach, Ivan Demidov on the second line. It's an option. I said when we did the show a couple of weeks ago, the Kirby Dach Patrick Laine experiment proved that those two players don't belong together. And so I'm, you know, maybe that's something that the NHL.com folks didn't glean from last year and from some of Marty's statements. On their third line, they have Josh Anderson, Alex Newhook, and Brendan Gallagher. You know, we talked about Jake Evans would be a natural for the Gallagher-Anderson line. That was a line that, with Christian Dvorak at center, was relied on by Marty St. Louis last year. And then at the fourth line, they have Joe Valeno playing the wing, Jake Evans in the middle, and Zach Bolduc on the right side on the fourth line. I think that the Canadiens are going to try to make better use of Zach Bolduc than placing him on the fourth line. So I got a lot of problems with with the NHL.com's projection, but you know, it's unfinished business, I think, and it's difficult to be analyzing things.
That's right. So I think the first big question is, are the Canadiens done? You know, have Gorton and Hughes packed up and gone into vacation mode now for the next 6 or 7 weeks, or is there still something that could be in the works?
Well, we got a new clue to answer that question, and it was Jeff Gorton, executive vice president of hockey operations. He was on the Basu Gadam podcast, and I like when Jeff Gorton doesn't really like the question and he reframes the question to a question that he wants to answer. So Jeff Gorton, his quote is, quote, "Are we done? Did we do everything we set out to do this summer? I don't know. Maybe we'll have to wait a little while before we answer that one," end of quote. Kind of coy, and is kind of hinting that, don't evaluate us right now, because we've got a couple of other things in the burner and we'll see if those come to pass before, you want to make your judgments on, whether we completed our wish list over the summer.
So if we don't have a direct answer from one of the guys directly responsible for making moves, perhaps a pretty tapped in NHL insider might have some hints as well. Chris Johnston, who is of course an NHL insider for TSN and for The Athletic, this week appeared on Off the Post Radio, which is another podcast featured at hockeyhotstove.com, which is where you can find this podcast these days and our written content. And the three hosts of that show, we've actually had two of them on in recent weeks for interviews, Russ Cohen, Mike Augello, and also Anthony Mangione. They do a great job. Be sure to check them out. But they had Chris Johnston on the show this week. And one of the first questions that Russ asked to Chris Johnston was, okay, talk to us about what's going on with the Habs, what they've done and what you think they're going to do for the rest of the summer. And here's what Chris Johnston had to say about that.
You know, I know internally they would like to add at some point another forward, not saying necessarily that has to happen, you know, before the start of training camp or the regular season. But, you know, I think that they understand they need to maybe try to find a second scoring line in time here. You know, I do believe they're going to continue to be reasonably aggressive in trying to find help up front. It's not easy. There's not a plethora of obvious top six options that are out there to trade for, but certainly any names that pop up, I expect the Canadiens to be in on them.
Montreal Canadiens, bottom line, are continue to be aggressively looking for a top six forward, says Chris Johnston. And he kind of takes that 80-day deadline off the table, saying they're going to be in on discussions, but it may not happen before the drop of the puck on opening night. It may be something that they're going to continue to work on as the season progresses.
That was just a snippet from his full interview, and he had plenty more to say about the Habs. In fact, Rick put together a little bit of a recap article about Chris Johnston's appearance on this episode of Off the Post Radio. Go over to hockeyhotstove.com, click on the Canadiens logo to read that article. You'll also have a link to be able to go and listen to the full interview and watch it on YouTube as well. So be sure that you do that.
And just to tease it a bit, he had some interesting things to say about whether the Montreal Canadiens are going to make the playoffs this season. And so you want to go to hockeyhotstove.com to check that out.
Definitely. And a big stick tap to the guys at Off the Post Radio for sharing their audio with us and for doing a great job. Okay. We hear from an NHL insider this week about the Canadiens. And as Rick said, the rumor mills have not slowed down this summer yet, particularly around a few key names, not the least of which is Mason McTavish.
Yeah, his name has been out there a lot. And we're not talking about the folks that just spin things on social media. We're talking about NHL insiders like Chris Johnston, like Frank Cervelli, like Dave Pagnotta. These are guys who are plugged in and feeding back this information. And there's a lot of talk about Mason McTavish wanting out, needing a change of address, being a depressed asset at this point. And a lot of Canadiens fans would like to see Hughes and Gorton be very aggressive and do an offer sheet. And we heard Jeff Gorton at the end of the season saying that he expects more teams to use offer sheets. We haven't seen that so far this year. We did last year with St. Louis. But with Anaheim, the team Mason McTavish is currently with, it's going to be really hard to construct an offer that Anaheim doesn't match, mostly because they got a ton of cap space. So it's likely going to be a trade or a brilliantly crafted offer sheet in order to land a young player, potentially impactful player like Mason McTavish.
And I'm with you. I think we should just, going forward, we should just call the two of them Kent Gorton.
Yeah, it just makes things easier.
Yeah. another name that's got a lot of rumors still swirling around about it is Nazem Kadri.
Nazem Kadri was interviewed this week, and he just played right along. He said, the rumor mill is strong out there, isn't it? Is a trade with Calgary possible? I guess so. The Canadiens have done that before. Kent Hughes has done that before. The Canadiens got plenty of assets. Do they have exactly what Calgary needs? Maybe. But can you imagine a Nazem Kadri as the Canadiens' second lines? That would absolutely change everything.
It absolutely would. The other thing that just won't go away, and I'm going to say this is one of those things that, yet again, I'm going to pound the table and say, Kent, put the phone down. And this didn't work out so well the last time I did this, because I had been pounding the table saying, Kent, put the phone down and don't trade Logan Mailloux. And he did it anyway. This time, I really mean it, Kent. Put the phone down. Lots of talk about trading Carey Price's contract.
There is, and lots of people are saying that that's already kind of in place. Chris Johnston's one of them, and they're just waiting till September the 1st. Why are the Canadiens waiting until after September 1st to trade Carey, and we're trading the contract at this point? It's because there's a signing bonus due to Carey Price. That's $5.5 million due payable by the Canadiens September 1st. After that, there's just a $2 million base salary left to be paid. And when we say that it's to be paid by the Canadiens, it's not coming out of Jeff Molson's pocket. Don't worry, he'll be all right. Most of that money is being paid out of insurance because he's injured at this point. But then, you know, a team that's looking to get to the salary cap floor only has to pay out the $2 million in base salary, but they get the salary, the full salary cap to charge against their cap number, and it might vault them up to if there are player, if there are teams in that condition. And the Canadians would likely have to give up a draft pick or a young player to sweeten the pie to get that done. And this one's is really tough. You have coming off the heels of Carey Price just getting snubbed by the Hockey Hall of Fame. It would be really nice if Carey Price is able to finish his career as a Montreal Canadian, which he will anyway. But you know, there are other considerations, and we just went through this at the trade deadline. There are so many reasons to trade a David Savard or other that would have made sense for the Montreal Canadiens. But out of respect for David Savard, where he wanted to live, his family, Kent Hughes, you know, put that ahead and kept and gave up the asset that they would have gotten in return to allow David Savard to retire as a Montreal Canadian. Maybe the same consideration can be shown to Carey Price, but there is the flexibility that moving his contract would allow Kent Hughes.
Lots to chew on there. So there's some possibilities with some speculation. There are some strong clues that have been dropped by insiders and even management that maybe the Canadians are not done, despite the fact that they have made a number of new additions this summer. But then the question has to be asked, okay, you've made those new additions, and it's possible that you might still be making at least one more move, if not more. But what about the prospect pipeline? And what impact not only do those moves have on the prospect pipeline, but what impact does the pipeline itself, the prospects who are in it, what impact did they have on the whole big picture of what Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton are trying to put together? Let's just remind you of what Laval achieved this year, because it's not insignificant. Even if Laval isn't something you really pay attention to normally as a fan, this is a year that you should know the things that happened down there. First off, they were regular season champions of the American Hockey League for the 2024-25 season. That won them the McGregor Kilpatrick Trophy, which is the team with the best regular season record in the league. That's a big deal, Rick.
It is a big deal because 101 points, that's the best season in Laval Rocket franchise history. The impact of the Canadiens prospect pipeline, yes, we can talk about individual players and what they did, but let's talk about overall the prospect pipeline and the impact it had on the entire organization.
Definitely. So the regular season champions this past year, they were named the AHL's Team of the Year for the 2024-25 season, receiving the President's Award during the AHL Awards Gala.
And that was just recently. We talked about that on the last episode.
Their general manager, John Sedgwick, was honored with the Bruce Landon Award as the AHL's Outstanding Hockey Operations Executive for the 24-25 season.
That's new news. That award was just given at that gala.
Pascal Vincent was the winner of the Louis A.R. Pierre Memorial Award as the AHL's outstanding coach for the 24-25 season.
Okay.
So they won the season as regular season champions. They were the AHL Team of the Year. Their general manager was the AHL's outstanding hockey ops exec. Their head coach was the most outstanding coach in the AHL for the season. And their ECHL affiliate, the Trois-Rivières Lions, won the championship. They captured the 2025 Kelly Cup. What an absolute incredible season for the two professional teams who are affiliates of the Montreal Canadiens, who are the feeder pipeline for the Canadiens and their affiliates. In absolutely out, it does not get much better, except if Laval had actually won the Calder.
Now, fast forward 20 years, 40 years, however many years, when you're sitting in your chair and you're telling your grandkids the story of the 2024-2025 season about the Canadiens' prospects. And you say it was just an incredible season for development in the Canadiens organization. What's the first question they're going to ask? Hey, well, which players were promoted to the big club the following year?
Yeah, so who made it to the NHL out of that? Well.
Oh, well, what if all the spots were taken? But you wanna say, oh, well, it was Oliver Kapanen, it was Owen Beck, it was Florian Jacquet, it was David Reinbacher, Adam Engstrom, Jacob Fowler, it was, whoever it was, Joshua Waugh. And it could happen.
It could happen.
But how does that fit? How does the puzzle all fit? I think we need to go back to Kent Hughes to figure out how he feels about prospects and what messages that he wants to send to his group in the prospect pipeline. He's not only the GM of the Montreal Canadiens, he's the GM that makes the decisions that affects everybody in the organization.
And when we go, so we're going to go back right now to the end of season media availability that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon had on exit interview day, and talking about their plans for the summer. And some key things that Kent Hughes said at that point of time, the first of which is talking about their awareness of not creating barriers for their young players.
How we do it again, we'll look to see if we can improve this team. We will be mindful of in doing so, what does that represent in terms of blocking an opportunity for a young player down the road? How far are we willing to go in doing that? And I wish we had all those answers today, but that'll be the framework with which we make our decisions.
So we're making decisions. I'll let you in on a secret. Here's how we make decisions. Here's the framework. We've got to be mindful of not blocking our young players. And he said, I'm not sure how long that lasts and for which players, but we have to be, when we make decisions about additions, we have to be mindful of not blocking our prospects.
And he pulls back the curtain a little bit more in this next clip, because here's where his former work as an agent, I think, comes out in this response, because he understands when he says, we have to be careful to not put blocks in the way of our young players. He understands from the player perspective, for the players he used to represent, what that does when you make a bunch of signings that could stand in the way of the players that you were thinking we're going to get promoted to the NHL that now have more competition to deal with. And here's how he phrased this at the end of season availability.
I mean, I think the complications are obvious. I think everybody in the American Hockey League wants to get to the National Hockey League. If we go sign a bunch of guys for 4-year deals, there's a lot of guys in Laval saying, well, what the hell just happened? My spot's gone. And then becomes a lot harder to show up to the rink the next day or the next season in Laval. So these are things we have to be mindful of in how we do things. And if we identify, for example, that there's a need here in Montreal that we don't feel can be addressed or filled by something in Laval or someone in Laval, then the question is, how do you fill it? Like, does it require X amount of term in order to do it? So I'm kind of indirectly answering your question, but I think it gives you kind of generally speaking the challenges that we confront here going forward. And we've got a lot of conversations to have, a lot of games to watch, and ultimately decisions that we hope are right.
So that was one of the most important in my opinion, most important quotes of that end of season media availability. Because you're talking about a great season in Laval, a great season in Trois-Rivières, a great season for the prospects and for the folks that manage them. Now, how do you reward them for that play? And how do you fulfill their aspirations? And he used the word, you know, we're not going to go out and sign, make a lot of 4-year contracts. Well, forget about the term, because that's just an example. But think of yourself being one of those prospects, and you know, you got the exit of a Christian Dvorak and a Yoel Armia, and you see spots starting to open. David Savard, you see spots starting to open up, and you start thinking about, okay, I had a great season, and where will I? What can I compete for next year? And then those blocks start getting filled in. And how does that affect the way that I approach this upcoming season? And Kent Hughes knows that, and in fact, in the John Sedgwick interview that we're gonna play a couple of clips in a minute, John said Kent knows exactly. He explains what players are thinking from his work as an agent, so Kent knows that, and he knows that there's gonna have to be open communication, and they're gonna have to provide opportunities, fair opportunities, for prospects to grab a spot at training camp, and to start seeing themselves as, he talked about how prospects go through a stage that at the beginning, when they get drafted, they just want to prove to their friends and their families that they kind of belong with an organization. And then it goes on and they really want to take ownership, and they really want to put the jersey on of the big club and invest themselves, and that you can't shut off those opportunities. Kent knows, and he knows that they're going to have to make sure there are fair opportunities for some of those spots to be taken by young players.
And so we'll see at training camp. It's going to take good mental fortitude for those prospects to come to training camp with the right attitude of, okay, there are, you know, Zach Bolduc's there, there are Joe Valeno's there, there are Sammy Blaze there, but I need to focus on my game, and I know what I can bring to the table, and I'm going to compete, and I'm going to make them choose me. Like, that's going to be the mental fortitude that these young players are going to need, to not feel like, well, why should I bother?
And I think on the opposite side, yes, the prospects are going to need that. And some of that's going to have to come from their conversations with Kent Hughes. In the quotes that we've heard, you know, it's clear that Kent Hughes understands that. John Sedgwick understands that. Jeff Gorton understands that. I think the jury's out on whether Marty St. Louis understands the importance of prospects in the pipeline. And the being fair with them and giving them real opportunities, that just as the prospects are going to have to come with an open mind and a focus, so is the head coach that's going to make those decisions about roster spots.
John Sedgwick absolutely understands this focus. And as we mentioned a moment ago, just this week, he was honored with the AHL's Outstanding Hockey Ops Executive Award for this year, which is a tremendous achievement. And so he appeared on
TSN 690
on Mitch Melnick's show this week to talk about not only receiving the award, but just the job that was done in Laval this season and what is coming ahead. He had some really fascinating things to say, and I was pleased to hear his perspective and him put words to theories that we talk about here on the show all the time. First off, let's just hear from him about what the focus is in Laval right now.
I mean, I think you guys know just from talking to Jeff and Kent and listening to the organization for the last couple of years. I mean, we're very focused on the young players and development, and I think what really to me, was I'm most proud of is how impactful our young players were able to be. I sort of view my job in the summer as building the framework around those players.
So he's building the team, and if you don't know John Sedgwick, he's a guy who joined the Canadiens organization about 13 years ago. He joined as the director of legal affairs and kind of their capologist, unofficial capologist. Worked with Mark Bergevin through the Mark Bergevin regime, and now has been retained. He got additional responsibilities. He is the assistant general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, and he's the general manager of the Laval Rockets. So he's assembling the team in Laval with the vision, and the vision is, he laid it out, the team is to be built around young players. We talked about it last year. Patrick Williams on the show, the AHL guru, said this team, the bus is being driven by the young players. Yes, they're supported by veterans, but it's Pascal Vincent has been given the message. It's to be built around young players. John Sedgwick clearly has that understanding, and in fact goes on to say, what I'm most proud of is the impact that the young players had last season.
Yeah, and I really liked hearing that from him. I liked hearing him use the word proud, that he not just that he was impressed, but that he was proud of that fact, that the young players were so impactful this past season, and that he viewed his job this summer as building a team of support around those young players. That is very crucial for the general manager of the AHL affiliate to have that kind of perspective. And so he goes on to then naturally, it's a kind of a natural question, and you'll hear him get kind of try to dance around it a little bit before he settles down and does offer some really good insight. You know, who are the players that the GM of the AHL affiliate, the Laval Rocket, who are the players that he thinks has a real shot to play for the Habs this year?
Yeah, I'm always cautious to single people out, but I think there are some players that I feel pretty confident we're going to see play NHL games this year. A lot of them are talked about often. I think one guy, maybe just to single out an under the radar player that gets maybe not as much attention, is Adam Engstrom. I think he's a very talented young man, and I think his game came a long way this year in terms of adapting to the North American style of play. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him in a Habs uniform sooner than people expect. There's obviously, you know, listen, I mean, as people talk a lot about Owen Beck and Kapanen finished the year there, Fowler, Florian Jacka had a really strong year. David Reinbacher, unfortunately missed some time due to injury, but I'm not too concerned about his long-term future. So I think there's a lot. I think there's, it feels like more than in any time in my years here. There are a number of young players that are pushing, whether they're there this year or I think the line we often use, and I think it's a good one, is it's not how fast you get there, it's how long you stay. But we want these guys to come into the NHL and never go back.
We want these guys to be recalled to the NHL and not come back to Laval. That's our job. We've heard Pascal Vincent say that. Mm-hmm. As well, I think his comment at the beginning was has to be taken into consideration when you start putting together projections for the Montreal Canadiens lineup this upcoming year. And he said, "I'm confident there are players who are going to be playing NHL games this year." And then he went on to talk about Adam Engstrom playing NHL games sooner than people expect. He talked about Owen Beck getting opportunities, Oliver Kapanen. He included Florian Jacka and Jacob Fowler and of course David Reinbacher. So I think, he's giving insight into the kinds of conversations that they have. And don't be under the impression that he's just speaking on his own. As Kent Hughes said, there are no silos in this organization. Just because he has a Laval focus doesn't mean that we don't talk about it as part of the Montreal Canadiens. And given that John Sedgwick has that dual title, GM of the Laval Rocket, assistant GM of the Montreal Canadiens, he's able to give us insight of the conversations and the thinking that's going on about the upcoming year. Mm-hmm. How they're going to build this lineup that's going to include some young players, that's going to include some graduates.
And I think that also could be an indication that, you know, maybe there could be some of those new acquisitions that might be on a relatively short leash, that who maybe they make the NHL roster out of camp. But if the performance isn't there right away, I don't think that this management team is going to be afraid to say, okay, we're going to send you to Laval for a little while, and it's time to call up one of the guys who almost made the cut out of training camp. So,
and of course, you've got to add the caveat that there's likely going to be injuries, mm-hmm. whether in camp or early in the season, that are going to affect some of these decisions as well.
That's right. So, what is the Canadiens connection question of the week for all of you? Well, if you had to guess, what do you think is the next big move that Kent Hughes is planning? There's a lot of things that could be in the works in terms of Kent Hughes and his master plan. What do you think his next big move is? We want to know what you think about that.
Is it moving Carey Price's contract? And if he's doing that, why is he doing
why
that? If he feels the need to do that, he's making space. He's making cap space, mm-hmm. that he wants to use right now. So is that signaling a big move? We want to hear from you.
We want to hear what you think his next big move is. Send us a text at 5853-ROCKET. Leave a comment on our YouTube channel or hit us up at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And next week, we will read your best responses right here on the show. And do not go anywhere, because you were all exceptionally vocal about last week's Canadiens Connection Question of the Week. We had so many answers to pour through and choose the best ones to read, and we've got lots of them. Maybe some of them you'll agree with, maybe some of them you won't, and maybe some of them will inspire you to chime into the conversation as well. You are not going to want to miss it, so stick around. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join Our Team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you.
And welcome back to episode 357 of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, once again, if you haven't done so already, if you're enjoying this type of content to have available for you all summer long, hit that subscribe button. And if you're on YouTube, hit that notification bell as well. That way you don't have to remember. You'll just get notified when there's a brand new episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast. We do this each and every week. New podcasts out on podcast platforms every Saturday, and then we put it out on our YouTube channel every Monday. So you don't have to remember, just subscribe and tap the notification bell. Also, as we mentioned, don't forget to check out our written content all summer long and all hockey season long as well. Now you can find our written content over at hockeyhotstove.com. You head there, click on the Canadiens logo, and you will find all of our written content. You can also just get directly there by going to HabsHotStove.com. That'll take you directly there. And while you're there, click the forums tab on Hockey Hot Stove as well. That is the very boisterous fan forum community where every single team in the NHL has its own forum where you can jump in the conversation and meet fans from all over the league and get into some pretty fun debates as well, as well as even some non-hockey stuff as well. So check out the fan forum section. It's a lot of fun. And of course, don't forget to get us your responses to this week's question of the week. If you had to guess, what do you think the next big move Kent Hughes is planning is? What's he got up his sleeve? What do you think it's going to be? Let us know. Rocket Sports text line 5853-ROCKET or comment on YouTube or on social media. Last week we asked you, we had a big conversation last week about the whole how the Canadians are going to solve this puzzle of who is going to play the second line center. And so we asked you, who do you think it should be? Who do you think should be the Canadiens' second line center next season and why? This is obviously a hot button topic amongst our viewers and listeners because a lot of you had plenty to say about this question. Rick, I'll let you start with, let's start first with some answers that came in on our Rocket Sports text line.
Sure. And again, to contribute via the text line, it's 5853-ROCKET. That's 585-376-2538. First one is on who will be the number 2C next year. Hughes has invested so much in Doc, I believe that unless there's a deal in the works right now, Doc gets 2 months to figure out once and for all if he's a second line center or a winger. Beyond that, let's not forget the draft next year is the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes. At this point, with all the extra cap space, most teams are buyers fighting for a 2C. Only Pittsburgh is openly tanking for the draft so far. I believe there'll be more teams after the 2 months that they will realize that they're not successful in the standings, will want to enter McKenna sweepstakes and have some 2C players available. Hughes will be ready. My dream is that Buffalo will want to keep on retooling as long as that's going on.
Yeah.
And Tage Thompson will be available. Fingers crossed. And this comes from Jerry in Waterloo, Ontario. Jerry has reached out to us on the Rocket Sports text line before. Thanks, Jerry. Great comment. And if you're reaching out to us on the Rocket Sports text line, we'd appreciate it. If you give us your first name and where you are located, our listeners always find that very interesting. Again, great comment from Jerry in Waterloo.
Absolutely. We also had, there was another really interesting response out of all the ones that we got on our text line. This one's from Jake in Montreal. He says, great show. As always, I really wanted to have your opinion on this. In the Habs 2025 draft video, they said that they did see Demidov play 5 games as a center, and they thought he should have gotten 11 points in 5 games as a center. Also, they do say that by drafting Demidov, they get a first-line center option instead of a top-scoring winger, assuming they were talking about Lindstrom. I think they were just playing poker by saying they need to find a 2C, and Demidov is going to be the second-line center. We got to keep in mind they did not target any center, only wingers. Why is nobody talking about Demidov as a center? Anyway, I think they'll try it at some point in the season. Thanks, guys. Interesting.
Great question. And he's asking for our opinion, and I really appreciate that. I think that whatever is going to maximize the creativity, you heard how Scott Wheeler thinks about him, mm-hmm. The most purely skilled prospect in hockey. Whatever's going to unleash the maximum amount of creativity and help him reach his potential, I think the Canadians are open to that. Do I think it's likely in his first year? I think they're going to let him get used to the NHL, and just help support him, and let someone else worry about all the extra responsibilities that come along with center, with being a center in the National Hockey League. But listen, if there's an injury situation, or just by happenstance, he shows, something at center, and is given that opportunity and it works. I think it's a great point, Jake, and we're going to have to watch to see if that indeed happens. And I appreciate that's something that that nobody else has mentioned to us before, and I appreciate you making that point to us.
Definitely. So really great. Thank you, Jake, for your comment and for your question, for that matter. Over on our YouTube channel, there was a boatload of responses that we could choose from. So we do have a few of them that we've put together here that were some of the best answers that we got. I will also mention before we get into this, I found it interesting. If you are one of our YouTube viewers, even if you're not, even if you just listen to the podcast on a podcast platform, be sure you do head over to our YouTube channel and go to the posts tab, the community posts, because we regularly, almost every day, put something in that post tab. And a lot of times it's a poll. And we had a poll in this week, just a quick poll, which was basically the question of the week, saying who should center Montreal's second line next season? And would you believe that 70% of you who answered this poll said that it should be Kirby Dach?
All right.
Which I was actually very surprised. 70%. Now, I don't know if maybe they mixed up. Who knows? Some people might believe that that's who it should be. Maybe they thought, well, it shouldn't be him, but I think that is who it's going to be. But 70% said Kirby Dach. 18% in a very distant second, 18% said a trade target should be the second line center. Third should be Owen Beck. And fourth, with just 3% of the vote, a free agent. So very interesting, but a good reason for me to just make that note that be sure to check out the community posts tab on our YouTube channel, because there's some great ways we ask questions to all of you on there sometimes, poll you about different things. And so you want to get in on that. So over on YouTube, great answers this week. First up, Rick, you have one from Manny.
Manny D 9582 says, I don't believe we should overpay. Rheinbacher, Hage, and Fowler should all be untouchable. Here's my first choice. A trade. Mason McTavish for Mike Matheson, Oliver Kapanen or Beck, and a third round pick. Okay. My second choice, Sid the Kid. First round 2026, not protected. Add in Struble and Wah, I would not give more. My third option, wait for Hage. And what's going to happen? Give Dach one final at bat. All right.
All right.
Lots of choices there.
I like that. We have a response from at Center Heist 7948. He says, great show, Amy and Rocket Stevens. LOL.
He was listening.
He was listening last week. Yeah. I love it. He says, this is easy for me this week, but I don't see it happening. Mason McTavish, hands down, not even close. However, I think the Ducks would be crazy to let him go. Let's just hope that the rumors from the insiders are true that he wants out of there. That's the only way I could see it. And for me, this is wishful thinking. Great show. Thank you very much, Center Heist. That's a terrific response. So he is on the McTavish train.
Well, lots of discussion from our listeners and viewers, as well as the pundits this week. Mm-hmm. Next comment from at Dark Matter Eclipse. Well, imagine that. They got a bottom six lefty center. Hughes must have read my comments here. So that's another reason to put comments on our YouTube page. Just maybe can't use or read them. They're going to be better next season regardless, says Dark Matter Eclipse. Demidov will settle in, and the Bolduc addition, who is said to have an edge to his game and defensive responsibility, is a great addition. With Hudson and Dobson, we won't have to watch Mike Matheson fumble pass receptions at the blue line on the power play. If Kakinen is the backup goalie, he's more experienced. Valeno is a strong skater and forechecker and is said to be suited for a more defensive role and okay at faceoffs. By the time contracts like Gallagher, Anderson, and Price are off the books, and Matheson, the team will be more of a real contender with more insight onto how Kapanen, Hage, and Beck will look for the center roles. Don't expect Hage to be a center as a rookie. Then is when they'll take the second line role level as a critical need. By then, Bolduc or whoever may have filled in may have that role.
All right. I like that. That's good. Remember, if you want to be one of the ones who we could potentially choose your response to read here on the show, you got to first get your responses in. So be sure you do that. We have I had to choose this one from @DofTheLoaf. Says, if the Habs get a short-term guy, my suggestion, if they can swing it, is Pavel Zacha of the Bruins. He can put up 60 points with talented players, and he has 2 years left on a reasonable contract. Also, if we wish to trade him off at the 2027 trade deadline, he'll still have value. Now, if the Habs go for a longer-term option for 2C, I suggest Barrett Hayton of the Mammoth. Still hasn't hit his ceiling yet, and Utah has enough depth to withstand his departure, especially if we include Kirby Dach in the return. They're also a team that could find a spot for Matheson at at second pairing left defenseman behind Sergachev. Attach the Columbus Blue Jackets second and see if that's close enough to get us a deal. And if he's here for a while, we have positional flexibility if it turns out that Hage fits better on the wing. Willing to retain salary on Matheson to get this done. I say, Dof the Loaf, I say, I am whatever they have to do to get Mike Matheson off the roster, I'm there, definitely. But some interesting ideas in this answer. I like that.
And we've talked about in previous episodes about Utah wanting to make a splash, yeah, wanting to make moves, wanting to win now, and that could be an interesting trade that would work out for both teams.
Mm-hmm. Really good, thoughtful, well thought out answer. I like that one.
Next one comes from Galkin FTW. I'm sold on Zach Bolduc being the third line center. They have been working on his faceoffs, which tell me he will be at center. Of course, that's Mark Bureau that. Mm-hmm. He was spending some time with at Brassard. I wish he was a top six, but I doubt it. I sure hope Patrick Laine isn't in the top six because 5-on-5, he's atrocious. Hmm. So it looks like Dach will be the center between Nuhuk and Demidov. That was my pick. And they kind of swap back and forth, whether it be Nuhuk or Dach at center. I don't know if that's a good enough second line for this team to improve. I also do not expect the first line to improve. So how does this team improve? The third line? Although I love Gallagher's production with low minutes, and I like Bolduc as a third line player, third line players seldom have an impact on the team's success. I'm not sold on Dobson changing much of the defensive issues. It wasn't so much the players as much as the systems that Marty was trying to implement, and the lack of positioning, the lack of reading the plays instead of just puck watching and puck chasing. So going against the grain a bit, but we like that. Thank you very much, Galkin FTW.
And I think we agree with some of those comments that he's got in there. So I very, very, very interesting. We have another interesting comment as well from Moon Observer Gilles 5730. I told you, and this was just a smattering of the responses that we got, but there were so many good ones, we had to pack them in. Moon Observer Gilles says, I see Montreal as a team that just matches last season. We were often lucky last year. I expect less luck, but about the same results. Yeah, we're still missing a 2C, and that does not matter. The Habs won't be fighting for a Stanley Cup next season. So develop the young players. Kapanen, let him play 2C next season. Mark Bureau can be helpful for the faceoff development. Stop overpaying hockey players that are not worth such long contracts. Sorry. Manage the salary cap. Hockey is a team game. We can see with Edmonton, two great players alone do not win a Stanley Cup, no matter how on top of the league these guys are talent-wise. Good third and fourth line players are just as important to bring equilibrium on a team. Third and fourth line players are easier to find and or develop. Those are some strong words. I like what he's got to say there.
Well, very smart. And you don't often, you see a lot of fans wanting win now or advance further than they did in the playoffs. This is a guy who's, or girl, that's patient, a patient hockey fan and is talking about draft well, develop well, and transition those prospects well to the NHL.
And thinks that they should just let Kapanen play 2C and roll with it.
Last one we're going to read today comes from at Philippe Martin 6704. He is short and sweet and says, there is no way Kirby Dach is ever playing center again, period. None, period.
That is a definitive opinion, I tell you what. Thank you to everyone who sent in responses last week. If we did not read your response here on the show, fret not. We did actually read it. We likely liked it and still appreciate it. We just only have so much time and there were so many good responses. So keep sending those responses in. Don't forget this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. What do you think, if you were to guess, what does Kent Hughes have up his sleeve? What is his next big move? What do you think it's going to be? I think we're going to get some really creative responses to this question, and I can't wait to see which ones we get to read on next week's show. Of course, the next podcast is out on Saturday, July 26th. Believe it or not, it'll already be July 26th. And we certainly know that there will be lots to talk about and some more really meaty Montreal Canadiens topics for us to chew on next week. But the only way to know what that's going to be is to tune in. So hit that subscribe button. Enjoy the week ahead of you as summer marches on. And we will see you again right here in a week for the next edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.